From the halls of every school in Michigan, this is School Talks on 760 WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy. Sponsored by Wakely Associates, Plant Moran, Real Point, Collins and Plaha, O'Reilly Rancilio PC Attorneys at Law, Clark Construction, and by Must Construction Careers. Now, take your seats. Class is in session. Here's Robert.
Welcome to the program. This week, we will chat with four working professionals, all of whom are products of our public schools in the area. Joining us on the program, from Wayne Westland Schools, Kelvin Steed, from Dexter High School, Andrew Milkey, and from Dakota High School, Olivia Ross and Jesse Wazalewski. Stay right there and you'll get an inside look at how well our schools have done to prepare these working professionals. This is School Talks on 760 WJR.
This is School Talks on WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy.
Joining us now on the program is Kelvin Steed, a 2025 graduate of Wayne Westland Community Schools. Welcome to the program, Kelvin.
Thank you for having me on this program. It's good to be here.
I appreciate your time today. I want to share with our School Talks listeners, you know, on our program, we talk a lot about opportunities for students in schools, and we hear from teachers and principals and lots of different people. And I thought it would be a good idea to actually talk with some recent graduates of our schools and learn about what they're doing now that is a direct result of what they learned while they were in high school. And in your case, you have quite a story to tell. And I'd like to start first with, since you graduated in May, where are you currently enrolled now and what are you doing?
Since graduating, I'm currently enrolled at Schoolcraft Community College.
I understand that while you were a student at John Glenn High School, you participated in something called Operation Opportunity. Could you tell us a bit about that and how it introduced you to the healthcare world?
Operation Opportunity was essentially this 6 to 8 month program where we met up once a month with Wayne Memorial students and John Glenn students. And our first meetup was with the University of Michigan Hospital. Mm-hmm. At that meetup, we basically all got a mentor in one role of healthcare that we wanted to join. I got a mentor in radiology because at that time and point, I wanted to be a nurse that studied in radiology. We had our mentors throughout the full year and full time we were studying, and each month we would go to either our school or we would go to Wayne Memorial, and the University of Michigan Hospital would send three representatives from three different programs inside the hospital, and they would basically sit down with us and tell us a little bit about themselves, how they got there, and why they wanted to be in healthcare.
Your participation in Operation Opportunity, I have to believe it influenced your decision to actually study health occupations at your school, which in this case would be the William D. Ford Career Center, which is part of Wayne Westland Schools. Tell us a bit about how your experiences with Operation Opportunity led you to the health field.
Near the end of the trip between Operation Opportunity and our schools, it was during the summertime, we were able to take a full tour of the hospital from top to bottom and see which task we wanted to do, which task we wanted to be in healthcare. I thought I wanted to be a medevac nurse. That happened when we went up to the top of the hospital and we saw their helipad, where we saw this medevac helicopter come in and drop the patient off. And I realized I wanted to do that.
This medevac helicopter is a major player in the healthcare field at the University of Michigan. For our School Talks listeners, the kind of work they do and the people they rescue really is extraordinary. So let me ask, during your time at the Career Center, away from Operation Opportunity, what skills or lessons did you learn while earning your CNA certification that you think has helped you prepare for where you are now in college? What are some of the things at the school that you learned that helped you?
While getting my CNA certification, I learned how to take vitals, how to talk to patients in a respectful tone and manner, and how to be there and give patients history while being respectable and not feeling like they don't matter. Mm-hmm. This helped me while becoming an EMT. This helped me while in this class. More of the fact because in many ways, CNAs and EMTs are different, but in the most basic fundamentals, they are similar.
As I understand it, you're also pursuing an emergency medical technician certificate?
Yes, I'm currently in school for my EMT or emergency medical technician certification at the moment.
We're currently chatting with Kelvin Steed, a 2025 graduate of Wayne Westland Schools, and how his high school experiences have contributed to where he is today. So, Kelvin, let me ask, what do you see as your future career path?
My plan is kind of a long one. I hope to get done with this certification in December. After I get out of certification, I have already been accepted to two schools in which they have a good nursing program. Those nursing programs will take 4 years. After the 4 years, I plan to wait 1 year while maintaining my EMT and nursing certifications and basically hone my skills a little bit. And then if I save enough money, I will pay for another 2 years and get my paramedic certification. After that, I'll wait about 5 years while working as an ICU nurse and maintaining my paramedic certification, and then I'll start my pathway into becoming a flight nurse.
How do you think your experiences in these high school programs, like Operation Opportunity and Health Occupations, how do you think they shaped your confidence? It's one thing on the skill side, but you seem very comfortable and confident in what you're doing. And I'm curious how you think your experiences in high school shaped your confidence to position you where you are now.
Throughout school, whether it was in Operation Opportunity or whether it was in my certification classes, I was always taught how to speak to people correctly, how to approach the patient, how to speak for yourself and for others in a commanding but also a nice and polite tone.
Mm-hmm. I have a separate question for you. I also understand that while you were in school, did you complete the construction tech program?
Yes, I did.
Tell us a bit about that. Even though that might not be where you're headed, you also had that opportunity at the Career Center. Just tell us a bit about how you did that work as well.
As a junior, I wanted to be able to fix houses with my own hands instead of paying $1,000 for somebody else to do it. So once I learned about the construction tech program, far before I wanted to become a nurse, I decided to do that. That program required a rigorous amount of learning and a border of knowledge about safety, which we learned throughout the class through OSHA 10 and OSHA 20. And my teachers, who were great throughout the full 2 years I was there, they taught us not only how to build a house, but how to maintain it in the long run. They also taught us how to maintain yourself when building a house, because not only are you worried about the structure surviving through harsh climates and weather, you need to make sure that you survive through building the house as well.
Very good point. One last question for you, Kelvin. If you had to point to one teacher in your high school career who made a difference for you as to where you are now, who would that be?
It would really have to be two. One would have to be Mr. Dudek, who is in construction tech at William D. Ford. And my second choice would be Miss Val. She was my health occupation teacher and a great one at that. She is a registered nurse, and she helped me and every student in the class how to be respectful, how to stand up for yourself and others, and she basically taught me why I wanted to be a nurse.
Calvin Steen, a 2025 graduate of Wayne Westland Schools. I want to thank you so much for joining us on School Talks. As always, keep up the great work, and thanks for joining us on the program.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for having me.
After a word from our sponsors, we'll chat with Andrew Milkey from Dexter High School. Stay right there. We'll be back right after this.
This is School Talks on WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy, sponsored by Wakely Associates, Plant Moran, Real Point, Collins and Plaha, O'Reilly Rancilio PC Attorneys at Law, Clark Construction, and by Must Construction Careers. Once again at the head of the class, Dr. Livernoy.
Joining us now on the program is Andrew Milkey from Ideal Contracting. Welcome to the program, Andrew.
Thank you. Appreciate you guys having me on today.
I appreciate you stopping by. One of the things we're doing here on School Talks is helping our listeners see how someone like you took advantage of programs in high school that led to an opportunity either in college or career that actually has developed into a really neat opportunity for you now. And as I understand, you're a graduate of Dexter High School, and you had some really neat experiences in high school that really connect to, at least in some way, what you're doing now. And I'm curious, I understand that early on you had an interest in construction, and you participated in a consortium there in Washtenaw in their building trades program. I'm curious, tell us about that, and how did that reinforce your interest in what you're doing now?
I've always been interested in construction ever since I was a little guy. When my parents were building their house, I was helping my uncle on the tagline of the truss at 4 years old, holding it in. So I've always had that interest. It's always been exciting to me, and always had that drive towards it. When I got into high school, it was presented, I had the opportunity to get involved with the Southwest Washtenaw Consortium, their building trades program. So learned more about it, kind of got more information about it. And back then, we built a house every 2 years. Mm-hmm. So we did everything from the excavation, the concrete, civil work, all the way up to the framing, roofing, finishes, and the turnover. And that really kind of spurred my interest. It was that hands-on work that I was able to do. And I walked away, not only graduating high school, but walking away from a home that we were selling saying, mm-hmm. I built that, which was a super unique and very rewarding, opportunity. And that just kind of propelled me and carried me on to the field and career I'm in right now, being a project manager in construction.
And, didn't you not, during high school, work on a farm?
I did, yep. So I grew up across the street from a farm, working with my grandfather. As soon as I could touch the pedals of a tractor, man, I was on them. Not many people, at age five could say, yeah, my grandfather's got an excavator and I'm out there digging a hole and, playing in the sand, the large sandbox, they say. So I think those opportunities and those unique, I guess, options given to me really made me to who I am by teaching me work ethic, working hard, being honest, day's work, all played into it. And then even, in my high school years, working with Nixon Services, Ryan Nixon, he taught me a lot of what I know on the underground civil side. And that, helps me into where I'm at now, falling back on those experiences and the actual hands-on work.
Your example really demonstrates how someone young who has an interest in something, when given the opportunity, it just blossoms.
Absolutely.
At Dexter High School, did you go somewhere else for the consortium?
Yep, so we went to the Saline. The Southwest Washtenaw Consortium is based out of Saline. The building trades is based out of Saline School District. And now my understanding is actually Dexter has their own program, which we're very excited to start getting involved in and kind of build that program in-house, so to speak. But yeah, the house is built in Saline, and we built two houses during my course. We finished up the last house my first year, and then we were able to build that house my second year.
Tell us about how all of that early experience led you to a community college and then eventually university?
Yeah, so at the time, the Washtenaw Community College had an agreement with Southwest Washtenaw where I actually got some college credit. Kind of looking, you know, towards my end of my high school career, I knew I wanted to go in construction and project management was the way to go. And my ultimate goal was Ferris State University. They've got a fantastic construction program, and that was my end goal. But I had the opportunity, you know, to attend Washtenaw for a year and get some general ed credits, and I actually did some welding classes on the side as well. So with the accumulation of the high school credits that transferred into Washtenaw and then Washtenaw going into Ferris, I was able to transfer into Ferris with already credits. Mm-hmm. And that was a financial decision that I was able to make that benefited me in the longer run, and then top it off at Ferris.
So excuse the pun, but it really paved the way for you to get to Ferris. Hey, we're currently with Andrew Milkey from Ideal Contracting, and we're talking about how his early school experiences led to eventually the career he has now. And Andrew, while Ideal Contracting, where you work now, you at one point had an internship before you worked there?
Yeah, so I internshiped at Ideal Contracting. It was kind of an interesting fork in the road for me my junior year going into senior year. I was a firefighter up in Big Rapids, and my parents sat me down. I was like, "You going firefighter or construction?" And I was kind of like, well, I made it this far. I should at least do one internship in construction. And, you know, talk about relationships and networking. A family friend of ours made a phone call to, at that point, the VP of Ideal Contracting, said, "Hey, you know, I've got a kid interested in an internship." And the class was already full, unfortunately. They made an exception and was able to get me in. And I did one summer internship with Ideal Contracting, and I absolutely loved it. You know, could not say enough about it. I was a part of the team right from day one, and that meant a lot to me. And at the end of the summer, you know, you look back and all the things you were able to build through that summer, it's like, man, this is a pretty cool career.
My research tells me you had an interesting project at the General Motors Proving Grounds. That's in Milford, right?
It is, yes.
Yeah, tell us about that.
Yeah, so the Milford Proving Grounds is kind of an animal in itself. It is always evolving, always changing. It's the research and development campus for General Motors. So they're constantly building new things, whether it's new buildings, new test tracks, new test cells. It's a very unique situation where you're kind of seeing some of the cutting edge technology too in construction of what we have to do, what the products we have to bring in for, you know, to keep sound ratings when they're doing sound tests, or big dynos for their dynamometers, you know, running the cars and all that. We're actually doing the installation of those, which gives us some unique opportunities and things that not everyday people get to see.
I understand also you're involved in some advisory boards and workforce development, which is a really big focus for us here. Yep. And it's nice to see someone giving back. And I'm curious, what strategies do you use when you talk to young students like you were?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. You know, sometimes I sit on these advisory committees or these different boards, and I look around the room, and sometimes, I would say most of the time lately, I'm the youngest guy there. And it's kind of an interesting view sitting in my spot. My goal on getting involved with the construction industry, sitting on these different boards and advisory councils, is to really get back into the high schools, get back into the classrooms. We have to, as an industry, we have to do that. You know, we face labor shortages, as I'm sure most other industries do. But it's tough because I feel like I have a good connection with that because I've been in that classroom. I've sat as where that student is today. Mm-hmm. And where I'm at now, there are some things that I wasn't aware of back then. And I feel like it's my responsibility and it's our responsibility as an industry to go back into the classroom. So, you know, making the connections, I'm a very a big, strong proponent of networking. I think that's a fantastic way to get things done. And I might not be the smartest person in the room. I might not know the answer, but I could know somebody that could help me out. So I think working on that, utilizing my tools and my resources to say, hey, why don't you come in the classroom and tell me about your specific trade or your specific expertise or your story on how you got there. I think that's important for the kids to understand that it's a big world out there and there's a lot of opportunities that they might not be aware of.
Now, Andrew Milkey from Ideal Contracting, you truly represent what public schools can do for a student who at least has an inkling of what they want to do, and the way you have created an opportunity for yourself is really admirable and really dynamic when you think about where you started and where you are now. So thanks so much for joining us on the program, and keep up the good work.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me today. Yep.
After the break, we'll chat with Olivia Ross from Dakota High School. This is 760 WJR.
School Talks on WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy.
Joining us now on the program is Olivia Ross, the Director of Growth and Digital Innovation for El Pollo Loco, which I know translates to the crazy chicken. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
Welcome to the program, Olivia.
Thank you so much. So glad to be here.
So our chat today is part of an ongoing commitment on School Talks to showcase how experiences students had in high school lead to actual career opportunities. And yours is really unique. And I'm curious, tell us a bit about El Pollo Loco.
Yeah, so El Pollo Loco is the nation's leading fire-grilled chicken chain. We are based in Orange County, California. We have 500 restaurants spanning kind of southwestern United States, but they go all the way east to Denver. So none in Michigan yet, hopefully one day, but we serve everything from kind of family chicken meals all the way to tacos, burritos, tostadas, you name it.
What would be a comparable chain here if you had to name a competitor?
There honestly isn't one, and I mean that so honestly, yeah.
All right. So in your time at Dakota High School, I understand you're a graduate there, you did some marketing courses, sort of a prep track, which I think is pretty interesting given how it led to where you are now. And your experience in high school, how did that shape your understanding of business and entrepreneurship that led you where you are now?
Yeah, so Dakota does an excellent job, really, and Chippewa Valley schools at large, they do an excellent job of really giving students the opportunity to explore different career pathways early on, before you even enter college. So you have that foresight to be able to choose a major and choose a pathway. For me, I got very, very involved in the marketing track, which had 1 to 2 years of kind of prep work. But then in your senior year, it was not just about teaching, but about application. So you learned how to run a business, and then you actually got to run one, right? Mm-hmm. So through the school store, you got to do everything from supply chain by ordering the products that would be sold to marketing to accounting even. And it gave you really this great perspective around how does a business operate and what are the different functions that go into really making everything happen behind the mm-hmm. scenes. So I think that really gives you this fantastic career readiness where you end up being able to speak to all these different facets of what goes into operations in any brand or business. So that kind of allows students to have a seat at the table, right? You can now speak to accounting in an interview, even if it's in marketing. You understand the implications of supply chain. So having that scope and that visibility gives people a leg up in the real world.
And like many students, I understand you have had a couple of influential educators in your life who I think you still stay in touch with today. Tell us about those and how they helped you in your career path.
Yeah, well, I would be remiss to not name drop them. So it's Nancy Atienza and Ann Seneker. They're both marketing teachers at Dakota, and I keep in contact with them both to this day. But they really kind of focused on a couple core principles that allowed students to really thrive. And one was you did not walk out of those doors without learning really fantastic presentation skills. Not one student could leave their course or their class before they've gone in front of a group of people and presented an idea. And that translates everywhere, whether it's you want to be in marketing, you want to go into construction, for example. There are so many applications of just having good communication skills that build a foundation of a career. The other things that they did really well really were kind of fostering students' interests. So it was, yes, maybe you want to go into business, but maybe you have an interest or a passion for sports. Maybe you have an interest or passion for entertainment. And so they gave enough leeway in the projects that we did in high school to give us the opportunity to dive into those different kind of interests and explore what may be exciting for us. And the kind of the third thing for them, I would say, and I just give them so much credit for, is just the continued lifelong learning. They have a marketing advisory board I sit on, but it's really for them to say, hey, what is happening in this ever-changing industry that's, you know, happening at lightning pace, and how can we prepare our students for the real world? And then they would take that information and build field trips, speakers, et cetera, around those different competencies so that students had exposure to the things they were really getting into after they graduated. So ultimately, I think the world of them, they're fantastic leaders, and they taught me that not only are they great leaders, but great leaders do create leaders, and I'm mm-hmm. super happy to be able to do that now.
What a great recollection. And we're currently chatting with Olivia Ross, Director of Growth and Digital Innovation for El Pollo Loco, a nationwide restaurant chain. Olivia, while you were in high school, you had the opportunity to compete in different events in that as a team. I think it's called DECA. Tell us a bit about how preparing for those actually contributed to your success today.
Yeah, so DECA is essentially a business competition. There are different verticals students can explore, from things like sports to management to project-based entries. And so where I think of marketing is this, the marketing track at Dakota is this place where you really got exposure to this wide variety of different skill sets or verticals in business. DECA was the polish, right? It was the opportunity for you to dive deep into one topic, one project, and really give your all for it. And so it ends up bringing students to this opportunity where you're building an end-to-end business case with a strategy, and you're presenting it live to a panel, and then you're getting feedback in real time from those judges. I vividly remember the time, I think I was a sophomore in high school, right? So really early on in my days. And I didn't wear a blazer. I wore a professional dress, but I was a 16-year-old girl. I didn't know any better. And so I did this presentation, and they gave me some, you know, coaching, and they said, you know, we're not going to dock you points this time, but you really should be wearing a blazer. And of course, I'm mortified, right? I'm like, oh my gosh. So I go home and I tell my mom, and I'm like, Mom, we got to go buy a blazer. And it actually still sits in my closet today, mm-hmm. which is hilarious. I was thinking about that last night. But I think it's really this opportunity for you to find out those lessons before you're in a business sure. scenario where mm-hmm. it really does impact your career.
Yeah, my dad always said, dress for the job you want next.
Yes, it's great advice.
So after high school, you end up at Northwood University, and you became the president of a pretty neat association. Tell us about that as an extension and some of the things you learned there.
Yeah, so here's a mouthful of an acronym for you. So we called it ESPMA, which was one of the majors I was in. It was Entertainment, Sports, and Promotions Management, and I was the president of the association that was associated with that major. But it really was the group of students that came together just to put on a really fun, exciting events at the school. So we had one around basketball where there was kind of this whole night party type situation, but then there was another that we invented that was more around like a talent show, and a talent show didn't exist on our campus yet. And we were like, well, we know people that are Elvis impersonators. Why aren't we putting them on stage, right? So we found these opportunities not only to create business cases and really execute, but also to bring fun to campus. And I think what that ultimately taught me was like, how do we manage, you know, cross-functional teams? And to put it simply, I look at it today and it's the same experience that applies. And so I think finding those opportunities along the way in your education journey just really give you a leg up, because it's not new to you to go mm-hmm. in and manage a group of people or to lead a team. It's something that you have exposure to. And yeah, it was a talent show, but who's to say that's any lower stakes than anything else?
Yeah. Olivia Ross, Chippewa Valley High School graduate. You clearly exemplify someone who's taken advantage of high school opportunities and created a wonderful career for yourself. Appreciate your time on School Talks, and keep us posted if El Pollo ends up in Michigan. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
One good story after another right here on School Talks. Coming up after the break, we'll chat with Jesse Wazalewski from Dakota High School. Stay right there. We'll be back right after this.
Talks on WJR is sponsored by Wakely Associates, Plant Moran, Real Point, Collins and Plaha, O'Reilly Rancilio PC Attorneys at Law, Clark Construction, and by Must Construction Careers. Now let's get back to class. Once again, your host, former Superintendent Dr. Robert Livernoy.
Joining us now on the program is Jesse Wasilewski, a design engineer for General Motors Corporation and a graduate of Dakota High School in Chippewa Valley Schools. Welcome to the program, Jesse.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I appreciate you stopping by. This interview is part of a continuing series where we bring professionals and people in careers on who took advantage of programs in high school that actually helped lead them to where they are now. And I understand you are a graduate of Macomb's Early College Program. Is that correct?
Yep, that's right. Yep. I was a member of the second year, I think, after it was concepted.
Yep. And just for our listeners, I want you to know the Early College is a tuition-free three-year program eligible for Macomb County High School juniors, where they attend both high school and Macomb Community College simultaneously, and they eventually get the equivalent of an associate degree for going into that 13th year. And there's no money out of pocket. There's no tuition or fees or books. It's just part of a great opportunity. And I'm curious, for you and the role you have now, how did that dual experience shape your career goals early on?
Sure. I mean, the whole dual enrollment experience was definitely a big challenge. The biggest one being, you know, trying to get to college as a 15-year-old. I had to hitch a ride to go to school. And then, of course, all my peers in class would tease me because I wasn't allowed to see rated R movies yet. But it made me used to being a small fish in a big pond. Mm-hmm. And it made me feel a lot more comfortable with trying things that might be intimidating or a little bit too big to chew on. And it really gave me that courage and that ability to just go out and try things. And the reason the dual enrollment program was such a benefit to me, at least, was because it gave me some of that extra time to explore what my interests were. I got to talk to older peers and kind of learn from their life experiences. And, I ended up changing my degree focus later on. And that dual enrollment kind of gave me that cushion where I didn't really fall behind from changing my degree as it might have set someone else back.
You make a great point. When you think about a 17-year-old student entering a college and they're expected to know what they're going to do for the rest of their life, that's a tall order.
It's impossible.
Right, when you think about it. And I understand you finished the Associate of Arts, but you moved to product development. Tell us a bit, what drew you toward the engineering side of things?
Sure. I think I always had a passing interest in building things and engineering things. But part of the early college program, they actually offered some career services, you know, helping kids decide what kind of career they want to go into. And I remember reading a pamphlet, and it was actually biomedical engineering related, and it was about different engineering advances to recreate, like, prosthetics for people that are missing limbs or what have you. And that whole pamphlet really inspired me to say, wow, like, I can go out there and build things and make people's lives better and make the world a better mm-hmm. place. And at that moment, I decided, you know, I need to go into engineering. That's my calling. That's what I want to do.
I understand, too, you have an interest in superheroes. How does that translate for you, what they do and the kind of work you're doing?
Sure. Well, I'm sure most people have heard of Iron Man and Spider-Man, and with great power comes great responsibility. But, part of their superpowers is their ability to invent things and create gadgets and gizmos that make the world a better place and help people. And I've learned that it's a little bit fantastical in the superhero world. Obviously, you know, Tony Stark can go into his basement and throw a bunch of holograms around and build an Iron Man suit, and life isn't that easy. It takes hundreds of people to do that type of thing. But they were definitely a big inspiration and kind of showed me that the power of engineering and how much good one could possibly do.
Yeah, one thing that's always fascinated me about space travel, aside from all of the math and science that goes into it, someone had to think, all right, maybe we should go to the moon, right? Long before you're doing math or whatever, it's like, yeah, I think we should go there. And your point about looking to a superhero is well taken. So you were at General Motors, or you were part of a program, AeroTech, I understand.
Yeah, AeroTech was a contracting company. And right towards the end of my time at Macomb Community College, they happened to be doing on-the-spot interviews on the campus, trying to fill up seats at General Motors for design engineers. And they were doing it for about 5 days. I happened to be there on the very last day, at the very last minute, and I saw what they were doing, and I said, hey, can I get on this list for an interview? Mm-hmm. Like, all right, you're the last one we'll let in. Like, you really pushed it here. You're running late, but we'll fine. We'll interview you. By some dumb luck, I ended up getting the job. Wow. And I ended up at GM and hired contract, and I was their contract for about a year. And I got hired direct shortly after, but I had no expectations for the interview. It was one of those things where it's like, I see it there, I'm like, oh, I'll go for it, I guess. But uh-huh. I did not think I would get that job, not in a million years.
And you eventually ended up at Wayne State for a bachelor's degree?
That's right.
Tell us about that degree program, and how does it play into what you're doing now?
Yeah, the Wayne State Mechanical Engineering Technology program is a really good program. Obviously, a lot of the schools in Detroit and in Michigan are very well connected to the automotive industry. So a lot of the classes and courses that they serve there are kind of related to that. So through Wayne State, I was able to take classes in, you know, robotics, programming, energy sources and conversion, you know, your typical engineering courses like statics and dynamics. But a lot of the courses were specifically tailored towards potential automotive applications.
Mm-hmm. We're currently chatting with Jesse Wasilewski, a design engineer with General Motors, talking about all of the opportunity presented to him in high school and how it's gotten him here now. You're now a design engineer for General Motors. And how is the work you're doing now connected to some of these experiences?
A lot of what I do at General Motors now is primarily I work in CAD, so computer-assisted design, and a lot of those skills I picked up way back at Macomb Community College mm-hmm. under Jim Carlson, who's a great instructor. And then my bachelor's degree at Wayne State really reinforced some of the mathematics and the formulas and a lot of the decision-making trees that engineers will go through when making decisions on a product. And understanding a lot of the math and the formulas behind a lot of simulations that we have to run. Because, mm-hmm. Of course, you know, you're designing a vehicle way early on in the conception. You're running simulations to see how will this do in a crash test. You know, do we need to increase, you know, material gauge? Do we need to change the material? There's tens and tens of teams that run all these different simulations, and knowing what the logic is and what those formulas come from and what the science is behind those simulations is really important to understand what you're actually seeing and how to apply it and how to change those results mm-hmm. and get the result that you're looking for.
Dakota High School graduate Jesse Wasilewski, and now a very successful design engineer at General Motors. Thanks for stopping by School Talks and really helping our listeners understand how you take advantage of opportunities in school and where it leads you. Thanks for stopping by the program.
Thanks for having me.
Well, we've come to the end of the class period, and I would like to thank our guests, Kelvin Steed, Andrew Milkey, Olivia Ross, and Jesse Wasilewski, for really putting a great light on the opportunities they were afforded while they were in school. It certainly has led to some wonderful career opportunities for them, and that's all the time we have for today. But remember, there are two ways to spell one and three ways to spell two. Till next time, this has been School Talks on 760 WJR.